We'll be blessed to hear Kemi Horry and Kara Neimeyer play a piano duet. And let's pray for our offering. Dear God, we thank you once again for another day in your house. Lord, we thank you that you do save old sinners like us. We're so grateful for salvation. We're grateful for the King James Bible. We're grateful for Faith Baptist Church. Lord, I ask that you help us, Lord, as we give, that we do so with a cheerful heart the way that you ask us to. Lord, help the little that we can give to be a blessing and further your kingdom. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
How it feels to know something's missing. Hear a still small voice that you just keep dismissing. Do you know how it feels to be troubled inside? To think just for you on a cross someone died.
Do you know how it feels when he knocks to surrender? Have your sins washed away, never to be remembered, and know that it's real? Tell me, do you know how it feels?
Then how does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real? Tell me, do you know how it feels? Do you know how it feels when your cold heart is melted and the tears started flowing. The moment you felt it, do you know how it feels to know you've been changed? And it seems that the whole world has been rearranged.
Do you know how it feels wherever you roam? You still get the feeling that you're not at home, knowing heaven is real. Tell me, do you know how it feels?
Then how does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real? Tell me, do you know how it feels? How does it feel to know you're a child of the King, your heavenly Father owns everything? How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real? Tell me, do you know how it feels? And to know that it's real, ain't it good to know how it feels?
That's a blessing. Good job. Appreciate it. Proverbs 27. Find that chapter in the book of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 27. And we're going to look at one single verse tonight out of this chapter. Hopefully think on it for a little bit. See if the Lord can help us tonight with its subject matters. Chapter 27 and verse number 7. I was thinking, as those young men were singing, I'm glad we have a bus ministry. I'm glad we have a soul winning ministry. Ray reached to the bus ministry and Logan's family through a special time here at church. I think y'all came to visit for something special, if I remember right, something that was going on back when Brother Caleb was here and just some years ago. So I'm glad. Let's stand together if you're able to in honor of God's word. Chapter 27 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet." I want to simply entitle the message tonight, "Your Honeycomb." Your honeycomb. Father, help us tonight. Thank you so much for the blessing of being in service. Thank you, God, for the good spirit. Thank you for faithful people. I know some are, Lord, tired. They've been at it all day. Some serve through the afternoon. They're probably sweaty and sticky from the heat and humidity. But I'm glad they're here. I'm glad everyone is here tonight. And I just pray that, God, you'll please now arrest our attention. May your Holy Spirit fill us with a desire to know your truth and to know you through knowing your word. Help us all. Help me tonight. Help all of us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you and be seated. Solomon, the Bible says, penned 3,000 proverbs. A proverb is a wise saying, sometimes called a maxim. It's often, it reveals a truth, and that truth often is revealed by way of contrasts in the verse. Many times in Proverbs, Solomon wrote about the poor having an advantage over the rich. Now, most people would not think that to be true. They would think that being rich certainly gives you advantage over being poor. But since those truths are found in God's word, we know that in fact they are truth, okay? For instance, Proverbs 15:17, "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith." You're better off to have hardly anything and sit around the table with a loving family than to have the finest of delicacies and there to be anger and strife. Proverbs 17:1, "Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. And so these contrasts are used all throughout Proverbs. We have a contrast here in verse number 7 between the full person and the hungry person. To the full person, the most delicious food in the world is loathsome. Loathsome. The word loatheth means to trample, to tread down, to reject, to trod underfoot. It means to think little of or to walk over. Think of being as full as you possibly can be. I mean, you've eaten a humongous midday meal, and then out of the blue, somebody invites you to go with them to a 5-star restaurant. And at your table, the most delicious delicacies are displayed. You're told to eat as much as you want, but you're full. Full, as we say in some places, as a tick. Full as a tick. And you touch nothing sitting at this table. You take a few sips of water. You put some food on your plate, off the platters. You play with it with your fork, but you never take a bite. And the waiter comes by and he notices or she notices what's going on. Is there a problem? No, no, no. And then the manager on shift comes to your table to see what can be done to satisfy you because the waiter has gone to him. This is not normal. Nobody ever leaves food on the table at this 5-star restaurant. In fact, they're always asking for more, but you're full. And you don't eat any of what's been prepared to the owner, to the manager, to the waiter, to the cook. It's like you've trodden underfoot the very best they could produce. And in truth, you loathed the food simply because you're full. You're full. To the hungry person, you could take them to White Castle. And they will think they have died and gone to heaven. And they can order all a bag full of sliders and suffer the consequences all throughout the evening. Amen. You could take a hungry person to the dumpster behind the restaurant, at that 5-star restaurant, and all that food that was tossed out in the dumpster, they'll count it as a blessing. Just to eat the scraps off the plates from those inside. And you just go over where they come from, and you see that. You go to these third and fourth world countries, and they're dining on the scraps. What a contrast between the full person and the hungry person. The full person loathes the sweet, but the hungry person loves the bitter. That's quite a contrast, isn't it? Now, notice the verse, though, does not speak about the person's stomach. So it's not talking about physical food. It speaks of the person's soul. It talks about that verse, the full soul, the hungry soul. The soul is that inner core of a person, the place where only they think and they feel and make choices. That is the soul of a person. I have a soul. You have a soul. We all have a soul. And Solomon writes of the soul of a person either being full or being hungry. And again, church, the full soul loathes even the very sweetest there is. And the hungry soul loves even the very bitterest there is. Now, when you go through your Bible and you look for honeycomb. Honeycomb in the Word of God is always associated with sweetness. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 24, verse 13. My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. It's always associated with sweetness. You remember when Jesus joined those on the road to Emmaus and they said, abide with us, and he entered the house with them. The Bible says, and I quote, they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. So they gave him something very sweet to enjoy. It is possible for the soul to be so full of true riches that eventually those riches are left on the table untouched, rejected, and even loathed. It's also possible for the soul to be so hungry for true riches that even the bitter things of life are sweet. I don't know about you, but when I eat, I like spices. I like spices. I like spices added to food. I just don't care for bland food. I like what spice does to avocado toast with a fried egg on it. And if you're thinking, oh man, he's gone vegan. No. But I'd like a piece of that good old Brother Harold pumpernickel bread from the Harold Horman grocery caravan. I like the price of it. It's free, okay? My wife will toast it and smash an avocado, which is very good for you, by the way, and smear that on that toast and fry an egg and put it on top of there. And then I take bagel seasoning, and that makes it edible. That's what happens, see. I like what Tony's seasoning, Cajun seasoning, does to some meat. I like what Italian dressing marinate does to chicken. If you've never taken chicken breast and marinated it in simple Italian dressing, put it on the grill. My goodness, be careful not to get any on your forehead. Your tongue will slap your brains out trying to get to it. I like what teriyaki seasoning does to salmon. My mom, maybe 80, how old are you? 84, but she can still cook. And she marinates that salmon in teriyaki sauce, puts it on the grill. I like what a good rub does to pork that will make it good pulled pork. I was eating breakfast with Brother Woodward one time at the restaurant somewhere, and pretty much get the same thing in a restaurant if I'm on the road with somebody. And I don't eat this way at home all the time, but I'll get a couple of eggs and hash browns. You know how it is. You know how the meal comes, you know, hash browns and things. And so I'm there, you know, and I've got my eggs. I'm putting salt and I'm putting pepper on the eggs and I'm putting ketchup on the potatoes and I'm putting this on that. And then I'm getting Tabasco sauce or some kind of Frank's or Louisiana sauce. And Brother Wilbur looks at me. He says, man, you dress everything on that plate. And I said, yeah, I guess I do. I put ketchup on the potato. That's the way I like spice. I like sauce on my food. You know what somebody said? I found this quote this week. You know what somebody said? Somebody said, hunger is the best spice. Hunger is the best spice. And you think about the last time you were hungry. I mean really hungry. To the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Hunger is the best spice. Two people grow up in and stay in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. There's Christ-honoring music. There's truth served in Sunday school and truth preached in the services. And there's prayer and there's a good spirit and there's love and there's fellowship and there are opportunities to serve and help meet the needs of others in that church. Why is one so unhappy? So bored, so going through the motions just to get through and get on with something that they enjoy? Why is the other so happy, so engaged, so involved to the point where they enjoy everything that goes on? One is full, the other's hungry. And I'm not sure it is just church that the full soul loathes. At times, I wonder if it's Christianity in general. Second and third generation Christians especially sometimes have grown up so full that they loathe the sweetness of the Christian life. That's a shame, isn't it? That's a shame. Let me give you a couple of thoughts tonight about this. First of all, I want you to see the honeycomb noticed. The honeycomb noticed. Have you noticed your honeycomb lately? Have you? We sang about it tonight, folks. Saved, saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Your sins are forgiven. You're robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Your transgressions are removed as far as the east is from the west. You've passed from death unto life. God is your heavenly Father. Jesus is your advocate. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. Have you noticed your honeycomb? Come on. Hey. Are you so used to it? You're so full, you haven't noticed it? Christianity's a honeycomb. Salvation's a honeycomb. A Christian dad and mom is a honeycomb. Kiddos, a Christian dad and mom is a honeycomb. Christian education is a honeycomb. A Bible preaching church is a honeycomb. A saved spouse is a honeycomb. Hey, why don't you stop griping about all the faults in your spouse? They're born again. They have a Bible. They come to church. They sing about the Lord. That's a honeycomb, pal. It's a honeycomb, friend. A choir that sings godly music is a honeycomb. Friends that pray, a preacher that preaches, a teacher that teaches, those are all honeycombs. Have you noticed your honeycomb lately? You're so full. You haven't even noticed it. This blessed old book I hold in my hands is a honeycomb. In fact, it's sweeter than a honeycomb. Psalm 19:10 says, sweeter also, about the word of God, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. What do you have in your lap tonight? You have a honeycomb. Do you loathe it? Have you been brought up with it forever in your house from the time that you were able to have any kind of consciousness and be aware of anything so long? You've been so used to this honeycomb. You're full. You're full. Prayer is a honeycomb. Exodus chapter 30 and verse number 7 about the tabernacle, God said this, Aaron shall burn thereon the altar of incense, sweet incense every morning. You know that altar of incense was a picture of the prayers of God's people. And did you hear what that is? He shall burn thereon sweet incense. You know what that means, folks? The time that you and I take to have conversation, to talk with God is sweet. It's a honeycomb. Do you loathe that? Are you so full that all you can do now is just, dear God, thank you for this food in Jesus' name, amen. Then, woof. God bless the day. Take care of everything. You know, like we do this in order. No. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Prayer is a honeycomb. Church is a honeycomb. Psalm 55, verse 14, the psalmist David said, we took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. I'll say something tonight. Don't want to be mistaken. Don't want to be accused of saying something that I'm not saying. A church is never judged by its size. A church is only judged by its sort. But I want to tell you something. The privilege that we have to walk into an assembly of God's people this size on a Sunday night of like-minded, for the most part, like-minded Baptist people, this is a honeycomb, friend. Just travel a little bit. And I'm not throwing off on small. I've been in small churches and services in small churches where the Spirit of God came in anointing power and it was precious. But I've been in churches where the pastor's kids were the only teenagers. Or the pastor's kids were the only children in the church. Where all the adults could fit in one small classroom for Sunday school. Church is a honeycomb. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. And listen very carefully, church. The Lord God is a honeycomb. Psalm 104:34 says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. When I was in Bible college, Brother Bragg, I don't know, I think you and I crossed some years together there, not very many. Brother McDonald, maybe a couple others, but in chapel, Dr. Evans, we were anticipating Dr. R.G. Lee coming to preach in chapel. Great preacher, oratorical preacher. And that great sermon, Payday Someday. And so in preparation for Dr. Lee's coming to preach in chapel, in the old Sword of the Lord hymn books, at the bottom of the page of certain hymns, they would have the favorite song of so-and-so, some well-known preacher. And Dr. Evans said, turn to page so-and-so in your songbook. We did. He said, Dr. Lee is coming to preach for us, and his favorite song is Majestic Sweetness Sits Enthroned. And he said, we're going to learn it. We're going to sing it when he comes. We learned that old song, Majestic Sweetness Sits Enthroned Upon the Savior's Brow. His head with radiant glories crowned, his lips with grace o'erflow. No mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair that fill the heavenly train. Your God is a honeycomb. Are you so full being a Christian that you don't notice the honeycomb any longer? Are you so full that you're bored with being a child of the King? I mean, the honeycomb is dripping sweet honey all around you, and you don't notice it. When you're born into and you grow up in a honeycomb environment at home and church, you are in danger of not noticing the sweetness of it all. Oh, man, I have tried to remember and tried to remember and tried to remember the exact details, Joyce, of the story that Brother Brown used to tell about his preacher friend that was, it might have been Jerry Whitehart, but he preached a revival up in the hills in the hollers of either North Carolina or Kentucky. And I mean, people, look, if you've never been in that part of the United States, it's really hard to comprehend what it's like. If you want to find true poverty, that's probably the place to go. And so the pastor was going to go visit a couple in the church that had been sick or something recently. He said to the evangelist, you want to go along? And the evangelist said, sure. And they crossed. Some of you have been in those places where they have, the road goes over a creek, way back in the hills, where true poor people live. And they got to the house, and the couple was so thankful. The man came out in the yard and to greet the pastor and the evangelist. And, oh, pastor, I can't believe you'd come and brought the preacher with you. And pastor, I want to show you what God has done for us. It's literally something wonderful. The pastor thought, man. He said, come in, I want to show you. And they went in and tacked to this, no refrigerator. All they had was an ice box. Some of you know what that is. Just a box that put ice, that's how they kept their groceries cold, their food cold. No dishwasher, nothing like that. And tacked to the wall was an empty vegetable crate. And the man in that house said, These are not mentally simple people. They're just simple people. And he said, there's look at what God did for us. This crate bounced off the back of the bed of a pickup. And I found it on the side of the road. My wife's been looking for something to put her dishes in for so long. And look what God gave us. And here was an empty vegetable crate with some dishes stacked in it. And that evangelist told Brother Brown, he said, when he finished that meeting and went back home, he walked in his house. He got on his knees beside his refrigerator and said, God, thank you. And he walked over to the stove and got on his knees beside the stove and put his hands on the stove and said, God, thank you. Went to every appliance in his kitchen, to his furniture. You know, folks, we're so full. We don't notice the honeycomb. We don't notice it. So think about the honeycomb noticed. And then let me talk tonight, secondly, about the honeycomb enjoyed. The honeycomb enjoyed. In order to enjoy the honeycomb, not only must you notice it, but you must stay hungry for it. You know, the Laodicean church was rich and increased with goods, and they said they had need of nothing. They were full and loathed the honeycomb. And do you know the best way to be hungry again and again and enjoy the honeycomb? If you're going to put it in terms of the physical realm, you know the best way to enjoy the next meal is to burn the calories from the previous one. Burn the calories. The other day, I got through with that procedure, and of course you have to fast for, and I actually fasted longer than I needed to, just the way it all worked out. And, you know, I was hungry when I woke up, and they brought you some Ritz crackers. Do you know how beautiful Ritz crackers look? They sit in our cupboards, and they get stale until you're hungry. So Mom came out to the house, and my wife was somewhere doing something with the grandkids. And so Mom came out to the house, and I had picked a whole bunch of okra. And, man, we cut that stuff up and put it in flour. Cracker Barrel does not have fried okra the way it was meant to be fried. That's battered stuff dropped in deep oil. So flour and cornmeal, and then you get a skillet with canola oil in it, you know, and get it real hot, and you fry it until the flat side of that okra turns dark and crisp. Man. And I just kept cutting it. I made a humongous bowl for her to fry. And when she fried it, and I ate... I ate so much okra. I looked like an okra pod when I got. And I was just. And that was like midday. And I thought to myself, I won't eat another thing tonight. I'm done. But then I went out and I worked manually for 3 hours, 4 hours in the heat and with the rototiller and pulling weeds and working and working and running the weed trimmer and just worked and worked. And you know what? After about 4 hours of that, you know what? Hey, what's for supper? I'm hungry because the calories from the previous meal got all burned up, used up. One of the reasons some saved people loathe the honeycomb is because they're never hungry. They don't burn any calories. They grow lethargic concerning their Christianity, concerning their honeycomb. They don't burn any calories. Can I tell you that a sponge is, you know this, a sponge is made to absorb water. But it cannot absorb water if it's already full of water. Take a sponge full of water, put it in a bowl full of water. To absorb that bowl full of water, you're not going to get any because the sponge is already saturated. It cannot absorb any more water. It has to be squeezed. Then it's ready to absorb more water. And the way to burn calories in order to enjoy the honeycomb is to invest yourself in the service of Christ and the lives of others. You realize that rarely do the people in a church or who are just Christianity, who are busy investing in the lives of others, they rarely loathe the honeycomb. You know why? Because they're continually squeezed. They're burning calories. Can I say, don't mistake activity for investing in the lives of others? Look, I'm not throwing you guys under the bus, but driving a bus, just driving the bus, is not necessarily investing in the lives of those kids. You say, well, how would they get there? They wouldn't get there. I understand that. Driving a bus and greeting every kid, every teenager, every adult that walks up those stairs by name with a smile. And man, am I glad to see you. That's investing. That's burning calories. And remembering if they were present the week before, and if they weren't, man, I missed you last week. I missed you. We really are glad that you're back on the bus today. Just because you sit in the classroom and take attendance does not mean that you are burning calories. Visiting with the kids and learning their names and talking about their week and loving them and praying for them, that's how you burn calories. You invest in the service of Christ. You invest in the lives of others. Amen. Burning calories happens when you're sitting in the auditorium. And you notice a visitor sitting alone or somebody new to the church sitting by themselves, and you move to sit by them. You give up your favorite seat, your seat. Your seat in the Baptist church that you paid for. I paid for that, okay. And you give up your seat and you move and you sit by them and you greet them and you learn their name and you pray for them as you sit with them during the preaching. That's when you burn calories. That's when you won't loathe the honeycomb. When you do that, every song is sweet. Everything is good. Burning calories is taking the prayer list home and praying over the highlighted names. It's sending an encouraging email to some missionary family, maybe a couple of times a month to different families, visiting one of the elderly shut-in people, fixing a meal for a mom with a new baby or for someone who just got out of the hospital. Burning calories is when you won't, if you burn calories, you won't loathe the honeycomb. Burning calories is when you use the talents and gifts that God gave you to serve others, to edify, to build up the local church. Do you understand? That's why God gave talents and gifts and abilities. I've said before, some people take the talents and the gifts and the abilities that God's given them and they use them for personal gain in their employment. And there's nothing wrong with that unless they never use those talents and abilities at church. That's why God gave them. That's in Corinthians. To edify the body of Christ. Using talents and gifts and abilities to honor God and bless others will make you hungry. It burns up and will prevent you from loathing the honey. Investing in others is how you burn calories. And you know what? If you'll just when the opportunity presents itself to invest in the life of some person, take advantage of it, and I'll promise you, all of a sudden, the honeycomb is sweet. You notice it. I preached in another state this past Monday and Tuesday, which means to get up early and go to the airport, not terribly early. Brother Andrew took me. And to be transparent with you, and this by no way is a reflection on the pastor of the church I was going to, but I came off a football camp, and physically I was tired. And I'll be honest with you, I just really didn't look forward to it. That's bad. When you're the guest preacher, and you've been announced for how many weeks, prior so-and-so's coming, and you don't want to go. I don't like flying. I just don't like flying. I flew the Walmart of the airline industry, Southwest Airlines, only because they had the best times and the nonstop flight to where I was going. And somehow I got in the front row. into the airplane. Guy sitting here, empty seat. The seat by the window is, oh, is anybody sitting there? No, so I said, front row. First class in Southwest. Front row. Somehow I got the same peanuts everybody else did, but anyway. You know, you're sitting there, the empty seat beside you, and big guy, and you know, and I'm thinking, man, it'd be great. And they kept saying, every seat on the plane will be occupied. You know, move your stuff out of the center seat. Look people in the eye. Quit avoiding them. You've been there. You know the drill. And the last seat taken on the plane was that seat. And, you know, young man sat down and howdy, how you doing? So we took off and got the computer out, and I'm writing a lesson for missions conference for our Sunday school teachers. It'll come to them next Sunday night. And I notice in my peripheral that he's reading my screen. So I start writing about the gospel. I start writing about the gospel going around the world. It's a missions conference. I start talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and that's how people, I could just see out the periphery of my eye. And I'm just writing along, and then he kind of lost attention. And so then he pulls out his phone, and I just kind of glance over, and here on his phone is this picture, this beautiful 160 class buck. And by reflex, I slapped his leg. I said, you kill that? He said, yeah, I did down in Missouri. And we got to talking, Bobby and I, and he's 33 years old. And I said, man, we just, you know, I'm bow, are you bow hunter? I'm twice his age. But, you know, we're bow hunters, you know. And finally, the kind of conversation kind of dies down. And I said, look, I wasn't trying to see your phone. I just happened to look at it. He said, oh, that's okay. I was actually reading what you were writing. I looked at him. He said, you know, I said, well, do you grow up? Did you go to church? You go to church? He said, no, I've never been. I was Catholic. He said, you know, but my wife grew up in church, some kind of church. And this is, folks, this is what I'm talking about. He said, you know, she's been talking to me lately about what's going on in the world and how the Bible kind of has predicted all this, and God may be coming. That's what he said. I said, your wife's right. And we got into it, got into the gospel. He's from Florida. He's working up here till December. He lives in Lowell. He lives in Lowell. He designs these high wattage mega power lines. He was flying to Oklahoma to working on a 48-mile, he's 33 years old. And he's designing all these high-wattage power lines, transmitting electric power, and he's working on a 48-mile line. It's incredible. And he's staying over in Lowell. I said, man, we got church members in Lowell, and just got into the gospel. And after a while, on that plane, Bobby removed his hat and bowed his head and trusted the Lord as his personal Savior. And he said, I showed him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said this morning in class. I said, whosoever, does that mean you? He said, yes. Did you call the name of the Lord? He said, yes. So I put my finger on the word shall. I said, does it say might be? No. Maybe? No. Hope to be? No. He says shall. And then he said, shall's different than should. He said, in a contract, if something should be done, means it may not be. But if something shall be, it's done. Amen. I'm learning from a convert who's 2 minutes old in Christ. Glory to God. And I took a picture with him. I got his address. I want to give it to some of you folks. I'm going to send him some material, send him a book. And I'm praying that he'll come. But do you know what? All of a sudden, I'm happy I'm going to Oklahoma. I'm happy I'm going to preach. I'm happy that I'm on the plane. I'm happy. I'm just excited. You know what? I burned a few calories. If you never burn any calories, folks, you won't be hungry. If all you do is pick up your Bible, go to church, sit in a class and service, leave and do it all over again next Sunday, you'll soon be so full you'll loathe the honeycomb. And you won't just loathe church, you'll end up loathing the whole Christian experience. I've said it before, I'm done. Say it again. Salvation is for keeps, but not Christianity. Salvation is for creeps, but not creeps. Oh, me. Salvation is for keeps, but not Christianity. Followers of Christ are not to sit on the honeycomb until so full they loathe and don't even notice the honeycomb. Followers of Christ enjoy the honeycomb and share it with others so they will be hungry again, and to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Are you full tonight? Or are you hungry? How is it with your honeycomb? Father, bless the message to our hearts tonight. Thank you for your word. It's unbelievable what we get out of one verse in the scripture. We've been given so much. Help us not to be so full that we loathe it. Help us to be hungry. And in even the very bitter things will be sweet. How is it tonight with the honeycomb? You're thankful for your marriage. You're thankful for your spouse. You're thankful for your parents. Thankful for your job. Thankful for your church. Thankful for your salvation. Thankful for your book. Are you so full? You're loathing it. Don't notice it. Walk over it. Be a great thing to get hungry again. If you're here tonight, you're not saved, now's the time to be saved. If you're here tonight, you need to be baptized, now's the time to do that. But how is it with you and your honeycomb tonight, child of God? Are you full or are you hungry? Let's stand together. Father, bless the invitation. The song begins. You obey the Lord tonight. You let God speak to you. How is it tonight with you? Do you even notice the honeycomb anymore? Are you even aware of it? When's the last time you knelt and just worshiped God, thanked Him for your salvation? Didn't ask Him for anything, didn't say, I need this, just overflowed with joy that you're saved. What a honeycomb. What a honeycomb.